This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in his journey of surahs that we recite on a daily basis, we might find that the main theme of these surahs is the human being, is al-insan al-bashar. Rather, we find that indeed the main theme of the Qur'an is yukhatibul insan, is to speak to humanity, to speak to human beings, to speak to Muslims, to speak to the kuffar, disbelieving individuals and non-Muslims, to remind these individuals about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being لِلْغَايَةِ أَوْ لِلْقَصْدِ أَوْ لِلْنِيَّةِ. Allah created a human being with an intent, with a purpose on this world. And that purpose has been summarized in near enough in every single page of the Qur'an. And then specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned inside Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st chapter of the Qur'an, verse number 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the human being. سَائِرُ الْبَشَرُ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالظَّاهِرُ, the seen world and the unseen world and whatever that exists that we know or we don't know, and every single creation on the face of this earth, وَخُصُوصًا الْبَشَرَ الْإِنسَانِ, are created for the sole purpose to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Him. That's what Ibn Abbas said, لِيَعْبُدُونَ لِيُوَحِّدُونَ, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ibadah, for worship. That's even the beginning of this surah that we're going to look into, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Surah Al-Mulk. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِي الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. What's the intent of bringing this human being on the face of this earth? Placing him on the face of this earth has placed death and life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see which of you is going to do the right and the correct action on the face of this earth, upon the face of this earth. Allah placed us upon this earth لِلْعِبَادَةِ, for worship. Not inside Jannah that people ask the question, what would my ibadah be inside Jannah? There is no takalif. There's no responsibilities. There's no halal haram. There's no ibadah as such inside Jannah. The struggle is on this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ibadah, or speaks about inside this surah. He gives us that insight. Manillah, who is Allah? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you get to know what is your purpose of ibadah. Because the more weaker the person is in their iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-yaqeen bil-yawm al-akhir, in their belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their belief regarding the last day and what will take place, the more weak or weaker their actions become on the face of this earth. When a person knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who created everything and placed us upon this earth for a purpose, because we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't see the symbols or the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Qur'an. In the beginning of the Qur'an, the first seven verses are speaking about whom? Al-Fatiha. That we reiterate at least 17 times a day. How many of us really know what the meaning of Al-Fatiha is? That's why some of the ulama, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, mentioned the whole of the Qur'an is just summarized inside Surah Al-Fatiha. The whole of the Qur'an flows. If you understand Surah Al-Fatiha, tafham kullu al-Qur'an. You divide the whole of the Qur'an into your mind, the sections from Surah Al-Fatiha. And from Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You understand this one verse, that you alone we worship and you alone we seek aid and assistance from. And then even further, some ulama say it goes down to just with the verb نَعْبُدُ, we worship you. And then some of them say it goes down to the noun of الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ أو الْحَمْدُ. إِذَا فَهِمْتَ قَصْدُ الْحَمْدُ أو مَعَانِي الْحَمْدُ. If you understand the meaning of what is الْحَمْدُ, you've understood what the journey of the Qur'an, what the intent of the Qur'an is. Then the Qur'an spills over inside Surah Al-Baqarah. أَعْظُمُ الْآيَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. The greatest ayah inside the Qur'an is Ayatul Kursi, verse 255 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Speaking about whom? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. seven names or attributes placed inside it, just 10, sorry, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ali Imran. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Speaking about the dominion, the control, the kingdomship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Hud, or Surah Yunus, Surah Hud. Speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till eventually we come to Surah An-Nur. Allahu Nuru Samawati wal-Ard. Speaking about whom? Classified as the eye of Nur of the Quran, light of the Quran, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout the Quran we traverse Surah Al-Ankabut, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To end of Surah Al-Hashr, speaking about whom? Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, huwa rahmanul rahim. Until the end of the surah, speaking about whom? Only about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the end of the Quran, Surah Al-Ikhlas, thuluthul Quran, one third of the Quran. Whoever knows, understands, qul huwa Allahu ahad, understands this surah, yataqarrab ila Allah, will come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illa Allah, wastaghfir li dhanbika wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wallahu ya'lamu mutaqallabakum wa mathwakum. Have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has that knowledge, what does it lead to? It leads to repentance. It leads to asking, yearning, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more the person understands, or it has some understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the more it strengthens their ibadah. And the person who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes under fi dhimmatillah, comes under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this person is trying to be ibadur rahman. Wa ibadur rahman alladhina yamshuna 'ala al-ardi hawna wa idha khatahum al-jahiluna qalu salama. Read the sifat of ibadur rahman and the surah al-furqan. What are the characteristics of the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah calls them ibadur rahman. Servants, he's servants of Ar-Rahman, guests of Ar-Rahman. If they traverse on the face of the earth, they traverse in a state of humility. That's how they walk on the face of this earth. And if the foolish or ignorant individuals, they disturb them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا, peace be upon you, they walk away. Because this world is full of so many distractions, distracting all of us, derailing all of us. That's why I read Talbis Iblis of Ibn al-Jawzi. The traps and deception of the devil, they're many, they're numerous. Throughout the Quran we read, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. For you is a clear enemy, clear animosity. Surah Al-A'raf, he will come from every single angle to attack you. From the right, from the left, from in front of you, from behind you. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Only few people are going to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah also mentioned, except for those sincere servants, he has no control over them. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plotting and planning of shaitan is weak. If the person knows whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, has that conviction and that belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will rescue. That's why inside this surah, one of his names is Al-Munjiyah, the one that rescues the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Allah is merciful towards the believers. Don't think Allah leaves us Muslims in this state, that we may think, that we perceive. Allah mentioned inside the Quran that those people who make call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the response? When Yunus alayhi salam called out in the realms of darkness, not darkness, darknesses, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, he called out the darknesses of what? The darkness of the night, the thunder, the clouds, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the belly of the whale. ظُلُمَاتِ, فَوْقَ ظُلُمَاتِ, ظُلْم بَعْدَ ظُلْم, surrounded inside that. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. We responded to his call. Because many ulama tafaseer, they mentioned that Yunus alayhi salam, when his time of halat al-farh, in a state of happiness and goodness, he used to remember Allah. He used to praise Allah, call upon Allah. So the angel said that we know this voice. This voice is a familiar voice that's calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says that we're going to take him out of his gham, his diq, his qalaq, whatever he's going through inside his life. We're going to bring him out of that. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions after that. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise, we're going to rescue all believers. كَأَنَّ الْآيَةُ تُشِيرُ. Al-Ayah is pointing to the fact, whoever uses this dua, Allah will deliver that individual. Whoever makes that dua calls upon Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Go back to Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. Look at their dua inside Surah Al-A'raf. Qala. Both of them said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. This is what life of the believer is. Abu Bakr said to the Prophet alayhi salam, teach me a dua I can say inside tashahud. Say this dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك ورحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. Oppression doesn't mean there's all forms of sinning. Oppression is being in a state of ghafla, heedlessness, not reaching our potential in ibadah, in focus and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, to see His servants are making that effort towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He will deliver, He will rescue His servants who come underneath that protection. But protection comes by making that effort of trying to, as they say, decipher who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights about inside this surah. Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Tabarak, taqaddas ismuhu. Praise be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min baraka, baraka. Everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessed. And whatever he places upon this earth, He blesses it. In His hands belongs all goodness in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you find that ulama, they begin to decipher inside the Qur'an. Places inside the Qur'an, how they begin. Imam Suyuti, Rattaba fi al-Itqan fi ulum al-Qur'an. 10 different formats inside the Qur'an. How the Qur'an, it begins. He divides it in sections whereby it speaks about Allah. Here inside, Allah mentions about Himself. And Tabarak occurs numerous times inside the Qur'an. By the beginning of surah inside Surah Al-Furqan. تبارك الذي نزل العبد الفرقان ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. That's why ulama call it surah تبارك الفرقان. And this is تبارك الملك. These are only two surahs inside the Quran that begin by speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the one in His hands belongs all dominion, all power. And that's when a person understands this surah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that there's a surah inside the Quran. Or a person recites that he should kana yaqra'u layla kulla layla, every night. He'd read two surahs before going to sleep. Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, the 32nd chapter of the Quran, and Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th chapter of the Quran. Every night we'll read them before going to sleep. And some ulama, they try to decipher the sir. What is the reason? Why these specifically, these two surahs? First, you find that both these surahs contain 30 ayat. Alif Lam Mim Sajda contains 30 ayat and Surah Al-Mulk contains 30 ayat. وَجَعْلَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. This ayah occurs in both of these surahs. Identical verses inside both these surahs. And in general, the theme of both these surahs is identical, is the same. About the human being. About the purpose, the intent of the human being. Why the human being was created. And only as a side point, only one other surah inside the Quran contains 30 ayat is Surah Al-Fajr. So whoever reads this surah every single night, it becomes a form of protection for that individual. In other narrations that we find, whoever reads this surah, reads these 30 ayat, it becomes a protection for that individual from adab al-qabr, from the punishment of the grave. As we mentioned, al-munjiyah, that is certain things inside the Quran, if a person carries them out inside their life, they become a form of protection for that individual. Just like ayatul kursi, al-mu'awwidhatayn, become a form of protection for that individual. So Surah al-Mulk becomes a protection for the individual because awwal manzil min manazil akhirah, the first station of all the stations, is what? Al-wahshatul qabr. Is the emptiness, is the scariness of the grave. That's why you find he encourages us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to recite this surah every single night. Al-mani'a, the one that prevents, the one that protects. And that's why Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he begins to discuss some other weak narrations about how Surah Al-Mulk will protect the individual. And once again, these narrations are weak. But it just mentions inside there how the Surah Al-Mulk, when the angels will come to punish this individual, it will be on their face, it will be in their mouth, it will be in their heart. It will prevent that a punishment coming upon the individual. That is Surah Al-Mulk. And you find other authentic narrations that it protects the person from the punishment of the grave, from the punishment of the fire inside the grave. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi, based upon all these narrations, he said, "Anna jami' al-umma wal-a'imma," the whole of the Muslim ummah and the imams, they believe in that when the person enters the grave, "Amma al-adhab aw al-na'im," That when a person enters into the grave, there's either going to be bliss or there's going to be punishment. No two other things. No, nothing else. One of these two things for every single human being on the face of this earth. It's either going to be bliss or there's going to be punishment. Likewise, Imam Nawawi begins a whole long discussion when speaking about Fada'il al-Quran, speaking about this surah. In Risala al-Doktor, in some ta'liqat, the Shaykh begins to mention, Imam Nawawi makes a long narration studying about what is Adab al-Qabr, protecting oneself. Numerous passages inside the Quran prove to this point. Because why do we highlight this? Because we live in this modern world that even Muslims have this perception that these things are figment. Asatir al-Awwaleen, these are ancient tales. There's no such thing. If we dig up the grave, there's no punishment there. There's no physical punishment there. Scientists say take mercury that moves upon the slightest element or fraction of movement, place it in the grave. We didn't find no movement. Because they, as the Quran says, ما كنا نعقل أو نسمع ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. Allah refutes these people because they think they have aql. They are uqala, the intelligent individuals. Intelligence is to see the Quran, to see the message of the Quran, not to believe that everything that physically that exists highlights that this is a reality. That's not iman billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many things that are hidden from us, many things. Allah wants to see that, will you really believe? Are you going to believe at the final moments of your life? Are you going to believe in waqtul gharghara? Are you going to believe when your soul comes to the top of your throat? And then when you see the angel of death coming and approaching you, coming towards you, are you going to say then now I'll believe like Fir'aun? Al-an, waqad asayt. Now Fir'aun, you want to believe now at this moment of time. Now he's seen the angel of death. He's seen the image of Al-Akhirah. As it opens up, the space opens up, he sees the transition of moving from this world into Al-Akhirah. He's seeing that now. And when you begin that journey of moving into Al-Barzakh, there's no returning back. There's no what people speak about near-death experiences. When you die, you die. Allah might give you certain symbols in this dunya to awaken you. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Created death and life. Because أَصْلُ insan أَنَّهُ الْمَيِّتِ. The essence of the human being, he's dead. We were not in existence. We never existed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed us in existence and placed us upon this earth for what purpose? For عِبَادَ لِلَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings us out from death into life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ as Ibn Kathir mentioned in Tafsir. Then he causes you to die and he causes you to come alive again. No one can escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone thinks that they can escape him subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find a hadith about the person from Bani Israel. He said to his children that when I die, burn me, cremate me, and then take my ashes and throw them on a windy day at the edge of the sea, at the end of the ocean, of the beach. Throw them on a windy day. Get rid of me in this manner. Thinking for what purpose? That maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't bring me, resurrect me once again. Allah brings him together and asks him this question, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lamu bihi, a'lamu bihalihi, wa bi'ilmihi. Allah knows this individual, why he done this action, but he wants this individual to speak himself. He says, I've done this because I feared you, Ya Allah. And I don't know what's going to happen to me. That's why I've done this action. As ulama make ta'liq of this hadith, there isn't a proof that cremation is allowed. This was used was at the time of Bani Israel. Remember that whenever you read a hadith about fi Bani Israel, kana fi Bani Israel, that hukum doesn't apply to us. You can't read those hadith and begin to apply them around our society. That's specific at that time. That was his action that he's forgiven for. As for cremation inside Islam, la yajuz. He's not allowed to cremate a person. A Muslim, his body is treasured, is a prized commodity. In kana mayyitan aw hayyan. A Muslim, his bones and everything that individual is respected, whether they're living or they're dead. Because why? It's a soul that believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's sanctified. It's sanctified because it has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flowing through its body, through its mind. So it needs to be duly respected the way it's presented. That's why one of the companions, he went and he placed a peg on a grave. As they used to set up their tents in the hadith, such the Sunnah Imam Tirmidhi, not mistaken, the hadith is kind of da'ifan. He placed a peg on the grave and he heard a voice. He heard a voice. The person was reciting the Quran. What were they reciting? They were reciting Surah Al-Mulk. And he completed the surah. Then he narrated that to the Prophet ﷺ. This is what I did. I placed this peg on the grave, because he never knew it was a grave. Because graves weren't like shrines that we find today. They were simple. Just a hand span. That's all the graves were at that time. And still now go to Jannatul Baqi. Go there. That's how they are. Hand span. We don't find these great shrines of relics of people. We began with, you only worship Allah. Al-ibadah lillah. That's why Abu Bakr or Umar ibn Khattab, he mentioned his statement. Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Whoever worships Muhammad, he's left his dunya. Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. That's not derogatory or defaming the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran says, innaka al-kaf khitab. Kaful mukhataba is speaking to whom? It's not speaking to us. It is speaking directly to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah is saying to him, innaka mayyitun. You're going to leave this dunya. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. And everybody else is going to leave this dunya. So we don't worship him. Our life isn't based upon that. And whoever worships Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Whoever worships Allah, Allah is eternal, all living. So a person has to make إِخْلَاصُ الْعِبَادَةِ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Everything inside your heart has been nothing but filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Allah inside this surah speaks about himself. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that made this creation, placed this creation. For what purpose? أَأَمِنْتُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُلْ أَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورِ. Do you feel safe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who controls the heavens and the earth? Then again Allah mentions, أَأَمِنْتُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا. Do you feel safe that Allah won't send a torment upon you, destroying you? And prior to that, Allah mentioned, what did he give to the human being? He gave to the human being, وَجَعَلَكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Why did he give us these faculties for? Faculties of seeing, of hearing, of perception. For what purpose? لِسْتِمْتَعَ. Just to enjoy ourselves? Just luxuries of this dunya, to eat, to drink, whatever it may be. We're not against that, but is that all that life is for us? Is that all that life for a Muslim has become? Just this cycle. Look at the Quran, the language of the Quran. It's being derogatory. Kal an'ami balhum adal. Allah says that people become kal an'ami, like cattle, like beasts. That's what animals do. Just eat, drink. Relationship, that's it. Eat, drink, sleep. Relationship, eat, drink, sleep. That's it. It's a cycle. The human being is far beyond that. The human being is far beyond just eating, drinking, and just sustaining themselves. It's a higher perception that Allah expects from the human being. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Very little do you give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will ask us about these facts. That's what Allah mentioned about as-sam. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصْرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. The faculties is hearing. That's what ulama said, that hearing. Why did even Allah mention here inside Surah Al-Mulk, hearing? Because people will hear the Quran. People will hear the message. And they will not respond. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَعْقِلُ أَوْ نَسْمَعُ. If only we could comprehend. We could comprehend this message. Decipher this message. These people, they believe they're intellectual, smart individuals. They think, look at people boast about apps that they design. Every single day you have to upload your app, change your app. Why don't we ponder about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the heavens and the earth. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصْرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Look at the heavens and the earth. Do you see any futur, shuquq? Do you find any discrepancies, any weaknesses inside the heavens and the earth? Look at the sky every single day. Don't walk with your head down on the ground. Look at the heavens. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصْرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصْرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Then look again to the heavens and the earth. Ulama tafsir said, doesn't mean look again. كَرَّةً doesn't mean كَرَّ بَعْدَ كَرَّةً or مَرَّتَيْنِ. Bima'ani, keep on looking. Keep on searching. You will never see any deficiency, any discrepancy in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet alayhi salam, the end of Surah Ali Imran, he began to weep. Aisha is there with him and he began to weep. And he said, these ayat have been sent down for whoever doesn't weep listening to these ayat. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the alternation of night and the day, لآيات لأولي الألباب, a sign for people of understanding. اللب هو العقل. When the Quran speaks about اللب هو العقل, this, the mind. You know, Quran isn't against the aql, the rational that we think. The Quran is saying, use your aql, use your intellect, use your mind. See around you the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign for those individuals who remember Allah standing, bowing, prostrating, lying down. What do they say? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You haven't created this in vanity. You know, these people believe in sudfa, the big bang theory, that everything just came into existence. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَلُوًا كَبِيرًا. What an attribute to Allah. Look at, listen to some of the things that they sing about. What an attribute to Allah, what an attribute to God. The filth, the corruption is far beyond the vile speech that they have. Look what they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you call a lost society that defames the Creator, rebels against the Creator, speaks ill of the Creator, attributes haram to the Creator, commits shirk with the Creator. That's why tasawwaru, if a person nurtures their child, nurtures their son, their daughter, nurtures them, and they grow up and they say to their parents, or you help someone inside your life, you help them throughout your life, they say to you, you've done nothing for me in your life. You never helped me. You never supported me. You didn't do anything for me. Think about that inside your life. Every human being will be enraged. Will be enraged at how dare that person say that. I broke my back for my family, for my children, for my loved ones. I done this to help this person, whatever it may be. This is what they return back to me. وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the highest and greatest example. But this is just as us as human beings to understand. So that when a person says that there is no creator, I created myself, I came into existence myself, al-ilhad billah, atheism, rejection, there's no God, there's no Allah, there's no return, there's no al-akhirah, there's no hereafter, there's no life after death. Religion is a control of people. As you read books of philosophy, what do they write? Oh, religion is the opium of mankind, it's the drug of mankind. People have been injected with religion to dumb them down. That's not what religion is, that's not what Islam is, because Islam isn't a religion. Islam is a way of life. They may have dumbed down people with their Christianity they inject into people, but Islam is what gives life to people. The Quran says that it gives life to people, it awakens people. That's what Islam does. That's what Quran does. That's why Allah then mentions in this surah that the person who's going to be walking on their face, مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Are those people the same, the person who walks straight on this earth and the one who's going to be walking on their face? That's what ulama say, literally as well, in the akhirah, people are going to be dragged on their faces. That's the sunnah of Allah, that everything on this earth that we see, it will be flipped, it will be changed over. They'll be dragged on their faces towards Jahannam. So the person who walks straight on this earth, follows the rules and teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not the same as a person who turns away. And then Allah mentions, يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah know what He has created? And this is another problem inside our society, that people trying to challenge Allah. You know, we live in a modern world. It's a 21st century, 43 years. Don't speak to us about relics of ancient history of the 6th century of Bedouin practices. Don't speak to us about that. We live in a modern world of modern dress, modern identity, modern understanding. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He's created? Does not Allah know what existed in the 6th century, in the 7th century, the 8th century, before Christ, before the creation of heaven and the earth, after the destruction of this earth? Does not Allah know? كَلَّا وَحَاشَا. Allah does know. So if you read the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single thing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. There are minutiae things that change of the Sharia, that they change according to the culture and environment. But ra'su sharia, the essence of the sharia, la tataghayyar. The essence doesn't change. The essence of the Lord doesn't change. Salah is there from the beginning to the end. And likewise, we find dress sense is there from the beginning to the end. It doesn't change because I live in a modern world. There are general attributes of a man, how they have to dress, that you find inside society. And even more specifically, that we find about the women folk inside our society. Read Surah An-Nur. Read Surah Al-Ahzab. What does it tell the believing women, our believing sisters, our family members? What does it tell them to do? Don't speak about the 21st century. Speak about the Quran. What does the Quran say? How does the Quran address these affairs inside the Quran? Because people may take offense that when we say them, he's just another cleric who wants to speak about this. Well, don't listen to just another cleric. Listen to what your Lord says inside the Quran. Pick up the Quran and read inside Surah An-Nur. How Allah describes the believing female women, how they dress, their attire, how they walk, how they speak. Inside Surah Ahzab, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Don't be alluring, deceptive inside your speech. Don't be deceptive inside your speech. لِأَنَّ الْحِجَابِ لَهُ الْحِشْمَةِ. Hijab has a meaning. The Quran says that a person wears the veil. ذَلِكَ أَن يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. The Quran says you wear the veil so you're known as a chaste woman. That you are a woman of God, if you can use these words. It's not a fashion parade. It's not a fashion show. It is not that inside the Quran. That we need to go back and remind ourselves and our family members that we find this build up towards a rightful, dutiful celebration of us Muslims, that we should rejoice, we should eat well, we should dress well, we should look well. But they are hudud. They are parameters. They are parameters. And likewise for the men folk as well, that they should be reminded that how many of them that on the night of end of Ramadan, what are they going to be doing? And this is no exaggeration that people may think that's maybe exaggerating. There are people who are collecting their drugs, their khamar, their wine, their alcohol, that as soon as Ramadan is over, not even Ramadan is over, that same night, this is how we're going to get intoxicated. This is how we're going to live our life. Then people come and they say to us, this person died on the day of Eid, make a prayer for them. People are condemned who die in that manner. Allah will judge them. But this is how we leave Ramadan. That's what Fuqaha have mentioned, a person who makes this intention about Ramadan. If you know yourself, or you know any individual who's got this intention inside their heart, you need to pluck it out now before the end of Ramadan. If a person makes a double intention inside their heart, I'm only going to be a good Muslim in this month of Ramadan. And as soon as Ramadan is over, I'm going to go back to my normal life. I'm not talking about a normal person who may sin. That's all of us. We all will sin, make mistakes outside in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. But one who specifically makes that intention, only in Ramadan, I'm going to stay away from all these haram things. And as soon as Ramadan is over, I'm going to go back to my normal lifestyle. Fuqaha have said, فَصِيَامُهُ بَاطِلٌ. Fuqaha have said that a person's fasting of 29, 30 days has been invalidated. It's been invalidated with what? The intention inside your heart. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Al-Latif knows the subtle affairs, knows deep down what exists inside our hearts. Seven places inside the Quran, Allah mentions Huwa Al-Latif. And many times he attributes with Al-Khabir, that he is the most subtle, the most aware, and the all-knowing. There's nothing you can conceal and hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing a human being can do. You can yastaghfuna min al-nasi wa la yastaghfuna min Allah. You can conceal and hide from people, you can't conceal from Allah. So that's what this surah is trying to instill within ourselves, is the belief and the conviction about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then begins to conclude this surah. As we mentioned, it's Surah Al-Mulk, or Tabarak Al-Ladhi Biyadi Al-Mulk, or Surah Tabarak Al-Munjiyah, that we find Al-Waqiyah, that Imam Suyuti, if not mentioned, mentions Al-Munjiyah, Imam Razi inside his tafsir, who mentions that this is a surah that will deliver, that will give success to the individual. We mentioned to make this a regular habit, to read this surah before we go to sleep. Read these 30 verses, and it will protect the individual from the punishment of the grave. And as we mentioned, that as human beings, we mentioned we want this concept, that we want to be given something to us. So use those ayat inside the Quran, use those verses inside the Quran whereby Allah says, or the hadith mentioned, this is what will be given to those individuals. And we know the whole of the Quran is, it will be a form of intercession. Person who stands, who listens to the Quran inside Ramadan, it will come as a form of interceding for the individual. It will come and intercede that I kept this individual awake. And we've been trying to encourage ourselves throughout this month of Ramadan to read the Quran, to study the Quran, to follow the Quran. That come to the prayer just to follow the Quran. Because a person who follows the Quran, the verses of the Quran have a deep impact. Because whoever follows, فَمَنِ اتَّبَعْ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whoever follows the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be wretched, will never go astray, will never be a wretched individual. Allah hasn't sent the Quran or Islam to be difficult. There's certain elements of burdensome that exist there. But Islam is there for what? For alleviation of the soul and the mind. Taha. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. Inside Surah Taha, the 20th chapter of the Quran, we haven't sent down this Quran لِتَشْقَى to make you become a wretched individual. You know, some people walk about Islam, abusan, always upset, angry, shouting at people, screaming at people. I'm only shouting it because it's Yawmul Jum'ah, it's khutbah. Because the Prophet would stand there, give the wa'ad, give the admonition, that his voice would be raised, his eyes would redden. But any other time, how was the Prophet ﷺ kana full of hub, wal karam, generosity, love, affection, kindness? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He sent as a mercy to the world, to mankind. You know, if you see somebody who's not praying, who's not fasting, who's doing something wrong, there's no need to become overzealous upon them. And we said many times, everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just encourage them, especially the society that we live in. We see so many strange people, strange conduct, strange behavior, but they're on their journey to Allah. It may have taken us 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It may have taken an individual only 2 minutes. And straight away that we find this responsibility is placed upon them, that you need to do this and this and this and this. And it breaks people. It breaks people because not every human being is the same in their mindset and their understanding. Every individual has their own challenges. That's what I always say. Imagine a person who's been kafir kullu hayatihi, being a disbeliever throughout their life. Bi'atul kafir, living amongst disbelievers, eating and drinking haram, sleeping haram, living haram, surrounded by haram. Wallah, hadhi ni'mah. Hadhi ni'mah. Alhamdulillah. Alladhi hadana li hadha. Wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadallah. This person becomes guided. Ni'mah min Allah. That's what the Prophet says. Rescue people from their hellfire. Rescue them. It's not upon you to stand over them, to have a tick box that is their beard like this? Is their garment like this? Are they standing like this? Are they praying like this? Are they doing like this? That's not what Islam is. There's not a tick box for you to place people, subjugate people. Your tick box is that every night, Ana hawalt. I tried myself. I tried to remind someone else. Maybe hatta when I reminded that person, maybe I should remind myself. Maybe the way I reminded them was wrong. That's what the person said. Maybe I was wrong in the way I reminded them, in my opportunity and trying to remind them. That's what a Muslim should be. And that's why we find that then the warning is given to those individuals who turned away. That who's going to rescue you from the punishment of Allah? Only Allah can. And He will rescue the believing individuals who place their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah concludes the surah by speaking about scientific facts. As we mentioned, speak about the heavens and earth in the beginning of this surah. قُلْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Say that if the water, if it trickles into the earth, there's a drought, the water never comes out again. It diminishes, it ends, it stops. Who's going to bring that gush, that water out once again? فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who's going to bring that water out once again? Only Allah. That's what belief is. That the belief of the believer, as we began with, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. No matter what dhulm, what dhulumat that you exist in, the person calls upon Allah, Allah will deliver them, will rescue them. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The end of Ramadan, those servants who say, I've transgressed my soul, I've committed all types of sins in my life. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair for the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. And like when this surah is mentioned, غُفِرَ لَهُ. A person reads this surah every single night. His sins are forgiven. He's pardoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, رَبُّكُمْ غَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ الْغَفَّارُ التواب. Your Lord is one who forgives, overloving, pardoning, merciful, compassionate. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord doesn't oppress any of His servants. He doesn't oppress any of His servants. Allah wants us for guidance, gives these final moments of Ramadan. Look and study our lives. كَمْ مِنْ أَحْبَابِنَا. How many of our loved ones were not there in Ramadan? And how many may not be there for following Ramadan? And how many of us may not even make it to next Ramadan? Final moments of Ramadan that Allah places a treasure that we should focus inside our lives, that these could be any final moments, any one of us. That you find it in a hadith in Sunan Imam Ibn Majah and like in Muslim Imam Ahmad. You find a person, jahada fi sabilillah. He fought and he struggled, two brothers, two comrades. One fought and struggled in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the companions began to praise this individual, that he was a warrior, he's a ferocious individual. And then came the other individual, and they saw him in a dream, he entered into paradise, paraphrasing the hadith. They asked the messenger, how is this plausible, possible? We see this individual inside paradise. How can he go beyond an individual who physically fought and strove in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alam asha sanatan ba'dahu, did not live a year after him. Did not carry out this worship one more year after him. Did not fast another Ramadan. This ulama said this shows the virtue of Ramadan. This shows the virtue of a person who lives another Ramadan to make ibadah inside Ramadan. And khasusan to search for Laylatul Qadr. Khayru min alfi shahr. Better than 1,000 months. 83 years and 4 months. Most of us won't live that long because the average age of a human being is bayna sitteen wa sab'een according to prophetic tradition. So 83 years and 4 months is what Laylatul Qadr is equivalent to. And as we squabble and we waste our life away in his final moments, a person should become selfish in trying to focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we begin, whoever finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds success, finds deliverance and rescuing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescue and deliver all of us in his final moments of Ramadan. Rescue us inside this dunya. Rescue us inside the grave and inside the akhirah.